May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Maybe some of you were raised in a family sort of like mine, where worrying was worn like a badge of honor. Do I see any hands? In my extended family, if you weren't worried or at least concerned about things, that meant that you really didn't care enough. So we worried and we cared and we stayed anxious much of the time. In my family, the Boy Scout motto, "Be prepared," was part of the DNA, constantly playing in the background. And of course, there's really no way to be completely prepared, so we worried that we weren't completely prepared. Some families carry more anxiety than others. Some communities carry more anxiety than others. Sometimes in our history carry more anxiety than others. We are living in a time of great cultural anxiety. And this plays itself out in many ways. You can probably name them as well as I. One of the wisest spiritual guides I know is Brother Curtis Almquist, a member of the Society of St. John the Evangelist, an Episcopal monastic order that is located in Cambridge, Massachusetts. In the midst of an anxious culture and a particularly anxious time for many, Brother Curtis Almquist from SSJE shared these words this past week. It was hope. And he says, "Converted anxiety is hope." I'll say that again because this is really counterintuitive. Converted anxiety is hope. He goes on to say, "Anxiety is dreadful expectation. Hope is expectant desire." Expectant desire. They are like cousins to each other, he says. "Pray for the conversion of your fretful anxiety into promising hope," he says. "If you are anxious just now, you are almost already hopeful." John the Baptist is in prison. His message and the message of Jesus is threatening to those who hold the power, so they've put him in prison. And John will soon be put to death, as will Jesus, for their very beings are a threat to business as usual. But now John is in prison, and he's holding on to hope, hope that the Messiah has truly come. But in prison, his hope is slipping. His anxiety is rising. So he sends some of his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one that we have been waiting for?" Now, Jesus could have just said yes and left it at that. But instead, Jesus answers this poignant question by sharing a list of the works of God that are happening through him. And more than that, he says to John's disciples, "Go tell John what you hear with your own ears and what you see with your own eyes. People are being restored to wholeness. It is a time of restoration. Around Jesus, the world is slowly being turned towards God. Years before this, Mary, the mother of Jesus, sings about God's marvelous works in the beautiful song from Luke's Gospel that we said earlier that we know as the Magnificat. Magnificat, the Latin meaning magnifies. My soul magnifies the Lord, sings Mary. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. And as we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child, we will spend some time today with Mary of the Magnificat. Or Mary, the Mother of God, as she is known in the Orthodox tradition. She's been an important part of the faith of our Roman and Orthodox sisters and brothers for hundreds of years. More recently, Anglicans and other Protestants have rediscovered Mary as a powerful religious symbol and as a model for our faithful discipleship. Remember that Mary, who was a young Jewish girl, said yes to God's incredible request. The angel Gabriel visits her to announce that she will be the mother of the Son of God. Mary says yes. And then she keeps this to herself for a while. But shortly after she becomes pregnant, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth, herself pregnant with a miracle baby, John the Baptist. Elizabeth is the only one who could begin to understand what Mary is being called to do. The life growing within Elizabeth greets the life growing within Mary, or as Luke tells it, the baby leaped in her womb. And Mary sings what we now know as the Magnificat. Mary of the Magnificat is courageous, strong, faithful, and obedient to God. Mary is also a prophet. She sings about God turning the world upside down, subverting the existing power structures. Listen again to these words. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. This song, sung by a young, pregnant, unmarried teenager, shows us a Mary with chutzpah, as they would say. Mary trusted in God enough to risk the shame and the danger to her of an unwed pregnancy. She could have been stoned to death, according to their law, for being pregnant before she was married. She trusted in God enough to risk losing Joseph, the man she loved, because how could anyone believe that incredible story? And years later, Mary had to bear the most excruciating loss, watching her son, Jesus, die in pain on a cross. Maybe all of this is why so many Christians all over the world feel a strong connection to Mary. Look to her for inspiration. Tomorrow, December the 12th, is the 24th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood, which was at the Cathedral of St. Philip in the Diocese of Atlanta. I was thinking about that this morning. Six of us were ordained. I believe only two of us are still in active ministry. Two died way too young. One left the Episcopal Church, and I think one other has retired. But December the 12th is also the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, living in Florida, you probably have some idea about Our Lady of Guadalupe, or you have seen her image, even if you don't know her story. I was drawn to paintings and images of her in the missions in Southern California when I was growing up, before I knew anything about the story. Our Lady of Guadalupe is Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she appeared some 500 years ago in Mexico to a beaten and a conquered people. This Mary appeared first to a poor peasant man named Juan Diego on a hilltop in the Mexican countryside. The story of her appearances is full of mystery and miracles, including roses blooming in the winter. It's a wonderful story, and it's too long for a sermon, but I commend it to you. Suffice it to say that because of miraculous events that kept happening, Juan Diego kept going back to the bishop, and he kept asking for more miracles, and he kept bringing them back with him. The bishop finally allowed a church to be built on the site of her appearances. And ever since that time, Our Lady of Guadalupe has continued to be a sign of God's love and care, particularly for the poor, the forgotten, the dark-skinned, the conquered peoples of the world. Leonardo Boff, a great liberation theologian, describes her in this way. "Mary loves the poor," he says. "She took on the dark face of the slaves and the persecuted Amerindians." Our Lady of Guadalupe is Mary of the Magnificat. She gives hope and dignity to the downtrodden. She offers compassion, mercy, solidarity, and unconditional love. Mary sings prophetically of God's marvelous works and the reversal of power and privilege that will be a sign of God's kingdom becoming manifest. So, what does all this have to do with anxiety and hope? Many people are living in a state of high anxiety. Many of our dark-skinned brothers and sisters have anxieties that the rest of us cannot even imagine. Mary and Isaiah and Jesus today all show us a vision of a world where all is being restored in God. They show us a vision of a world where the proud are scattered, the rich sent away, and the poor, the hungry, the lowly are comforted and lifted up. This is the vision that we get today, that we are called to, a world of healing and reconciliation and abundance for all. Can we hope together for such a world? Can we work with God to help it become a reality? Do we have the courage to stand with those who are oppressed, by structures and systems and those who hold money and power? Do we have the courage to speak truth to power like Mary? Well, if you are anxious, remember Brother Curtis's words, converted anxiety is hope. If you are anxious just now, he says, you are almost already hopeful. This Advent, we can pray for the conversion of all anxiety into promising hope of the coming of God's kingdom.